All right, so afternoon, everybody. This morning, or afternoon, I reckon, I would like to look at one book. It's a short book. It's the third book of John. It's only 14 verses, so we'll be able to move through it fairly quickly. So this is the third epistle written by the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, who was beheaded early in Jesus's ministry, but this is one of the 12 disciples, and we believe that he wound up being the last one living, and that's mainly based on Jesus's response to old Peter when he was told how he was going to die at the end of John. He asked, well, what about this one? Asking about the Apostle John, and Jesus responds back that, you know, if this one remains until I come back, what's that to thee? You know, follow me. And anyway, so John had to correct the misperception that went around from that saying of people were saying, well, then he's not going to die. He's like, no, that's not what he said. He didn't say that. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So, anyway, so that's who our writer is, the Apostle John. It's a short letter, which, you know, epistle was a formal letter, and it's written unto a believer, a Christian named Gaius. If you do a word search for the name Gaius, I found two gentlemen who come up. One, if you're in Acts 20 and verse 3, there is a Gaius who is from the hometown of Derbe. And then in 1 Corinthians 1 and 14, Paul, in listing out some of the Corinthian folks who he has baptized, includes a guy named Gaius. And then in Romans chapter 16, verse 23, Paul references the host that he's staying with when he's writing the letter to the Romans. This is before he traveled to see the Romans at all. So he's staying with a host, and his host name was Gaius. Now, the ending subscription that's added to the book of Romans says it was written from Corinth. So it's probably our second Gaius there, where he was staying. All that being said, is who this particular Gaius is, I don't know. We know that Paul at least knew those other two, but where the Apostle John got around to and knew, there's just not much revealed. But it is a Gaius, and it, you know, it's pretty clear that the Apostle John holds him in pretty high regard. So I'm just going to read the letter real quick, and then we'll make some comments about it and try and pull out some concepts for our understanding. And it says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Scroll down so we can let you see. "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. All right, so you notice it starts off with describing the writer as the elder. He does that in his first and second epistles, or at least the first epistle. The second epistle describes himself as the elder as well. And what, you know, why is that significant? John, as a writer, is notoriously reticent to mention his own name. If you read the whole Gospel of John, he would, when he had to talk about himself, he would use the expression, the disciple who Jesus loved. So he went out of his way not to call attention to his own name. So the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. He's describing the deep affection and care he has for Gaius. And why? Is it not because he's just a friend or a good guy? It's because of the truth. He loves them in the truth, that they believe and share the understanding of the gospel. And most likely, John was probably the first to communicate this gospel unto Gaius. And I'm using that, I'm basing that on verse 4. He says that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. The Apostle Paul would use similar expressions to describe the churches that he went around. You know, no one else had been there, and he was teaching folks, and he would describe him as being a father to them, and that they were first hearing the truth. And so there is a, and I can speak, you know, as a pastor, that there is a great responsibility. You feel an affection for people who have not heard the truth before, and then hear it the first time, and you know, believing and rejoicing, and then you share that common bond of the love of the truth, and then to get a report later that they are continuing to walk in the truth when you're no longer there, you're no longer actively monitoring their oversight, and you're some distance away. It's a real thrill and joy, and so that's what he's describing here. Is he got to hear from the brethren and testifying of the truth that is in Gaius. So he said, "But the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth," and then he wishes him well. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So he knows that his soul is prospering. He's got a report from his brethren who've been to wherever Gaius is and come back and testified that he's still sound in the faith and he's still walking the walk. He's not just giving lip service to it. And so that word prosper means, if you look it up in Strong's, it says to help on the road, to succeed in reaching. And so he is, desiring that he would continue to have what he needs to journey down his road in life, and to be in health means to have sound health. I mean, it is what you think it is. So he's wishing above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so there are some brethren who came to wherever Gaius was, and at the church there. And when they came back to where John was, they gave a testimony of how Gaius was doing. And it just thrilled John. He rejoiced greatly. He was very excited. And that's that's still true today, that when you have people you can interact with often, and you share the love of the gospel and of Jesus Christ, and to hear how they're doing, even when you're far off, and to hear that they're still walking sound in faith. It's wonderful, wonderfully encouraging. All right. And then he's going to talk specifically about some things that Gaius does, and they know about this because of the brethren who have just come back and reported it. He said, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." All right. So that is a he does something trustworthy. All right. Whether it's to brethren who are known or to strangers, those who are unknown, haven't met before. And it says they have borne witness, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing for the Gentiles. All right, so John may not be as clear as what he's talking about, may not be as clear as you might prefer it, but what he's talking about is there are groups of men who have gone out to teach and preach the gospel. They're going out to share it with the Gentiles. And it says that when they come to Gaius, he helps them on their journey. Now, that's receiving them as a host. That's could be sending them on with money or aid or whatever. It says, but whatever, whether he knows them as brethren or whether they're strangers to him, he's faithful and trustworthy to take care of them. And they've come back and they've you know, given a testimony of the love that he shows in his actions and by bringing them forward on their journey after a godly sort, which means an appropriate way that he's providing for them. It says, because for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. All right, so they've gone forth for the sake of Jesus Christ and for his name to share it. But as they're on these journeys to share the word and the truth, like the Apostle Paul, they are very conscientious about not taking money from who they're talking to. So there is a grave concern. Paul talks about this quite a bit, about not wanting to be chargeable to anybody that he's going to and teaching to, particularly for the first time, these young baby Christians. He does not want any perception that he's doing this to get their money. Okay. He said there's going to be many false teachers who that's going to be their exact motivation, as to come and teach you things so they can get your cash. Well, for Paul and for these who are coming before Gaius, they went out to preach Jesus' name, but they're not willing to take anything, no money, from who they're preaching to. So their motives are pure and unquestionable. Now, what that means is that they need support from somewhere else. And so what happens is that mature churches, ones that have been established already, are aiding in that process. So individuals, and so one example from that, from Paul's journey, is he had started the church, I think it's Thessalonica, and then went down to Corinth, and I don't have it handy, but I can go read Acts, but there's a description about how there's this one church who sent him aid on his journey at the very next town. Like, he wouldn't take anything from them, but when he went to the next town, they were already sending funds to him to try and encourage him and bolster him there. It was in the region of Macedonia. Anyway, so you've got these evangelists, those who are going forth and preaching and teaching the gospel, and Gaius has been faithful to receive them and to send them on their journeys. And John is going to commend that in verse 8, saying, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. So it's right. It's proper. They're teaching the sound doctrine, the faith, the truth of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, everything that they've been taught, they're faithfully teaching. And so it's right to receive such and to help send them on their journey. And then he describes a problem. Verse 9 is, he wrote to the church. Now, the church, it's not referring to all Christians everywhere. It's referring to a local body, a individual church. And at this time, churches, pretty much there's one church per city. And so he wrote unto the church, and most likely that's wherever Gaius is at. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So he sent, a request unto Diotrephes, most likely to receive these brethren in John's name. But it says that this guy's got a pride issue. Preeminence means he's fond of being first. Okay, I'm sure y'all met some folks like that, and sometimes we act like that. We ought not to. But Diotrephes had a real pride issue, and he didn't want to accept these brothers who are coming to pass through there on their journey. And so he says he receiveth us not. So they rejected the letter and most likely didn't accept the brethren here. And so he describes that problem. And he says in verse 10, wherefore, if I come, so to wherever Gaius and Diotrephes are at, he says, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. So, you know, evil, you know, slanderous words that he's railing against John and most likely the other apostles. And it says he's not content therewith. So it's not just bad that he wouldn't receive us, or not just bad that he talks bad about us. He's not content with just that. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, so those that are coming. He doesn't take them in. He doesn't aid them. But he also forbids the members of his church. He says, y'all can't take them in either. And he casts them out of the church. I mean, I think that's referring to the evangelists themselves, not referring to the members who would try to override him. So there's a problem with the church there about Diotrephes, you know, basically taking a worldly ruler position. He wants to make sure he's the top dog, and he, you know, doesn't accept aid and comfort these brethren, and doesn't allow anyone else to, and then, you know, rejects them and casts them out of the church. So that's really problematic. And so verse 11, John gives Gaius the instructions that he needs to continue doing what's right, that Diotrephes is in the wrong, don't follow him. And that word follow means imitate or mimic. So, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So if you've got a person who's claiming to be a follower of God and they're actively doing evil and they're hindering the work of evangelism, I mean, it's saying that he hasn't even seen God. He hasn't experienced him. He can't understand what's going on. So don't follow his example. All right. And then we get to verse 12 where John is going to give a recommendation, a commendation letter. Says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. All right. So what's going on? Odds are Demetrius is carrying this letter. He had probably been tried to go to Diotrephes and it didn't work. And so now he's sending them to Gaius directly. And he's saying, you know, this is an evangelist who's got a good character. He's got a good report, well reported of by, you know, every man, all men, and of the truth itself. And not only that, he's sound in the truth in the gospel. And he said, on top of that, we bear record of it, and you know that our record's true. And an apostle, you know, to bear record is to give testimony or witness. And the role of the apostle is to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ's resurrection. And so he said, you know that our record is true. I mean, everything that we believe, you're basing on the truth that we're declaring. So believe me on this part too, that this is a good guy worthy to be received. We have good report of all men and the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. And then verse 13 says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. And the reason is I trust I shall shortly see thee, and so see you directly soon. And we shall speak face to face. And so if you need any encouragement for advocating for seeing folks face to face and not just being content with letter writing or text messages or telephone calls, you're out here. You want to see him face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And so he's desiring that God would bless Gaius with peace, and that all the friends that are with John are saying, hey, how y'all doing? And then make sure you greet the friends by name. And that Greek word for friend is philos. It's a word you get from philanthropy or Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, friend. Be friendly. Greet the friends by name. So that's the short little third epistle of John.